Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, text number 72. Aham Chagayam Tadvidvan Sribi Parivrito Gataha Kyatva Vishva Srijastanme Helanam Shepur Ojasa Yahi Tvam Shudaratam Ashu Nashta Sri Krita Helanaha Aham, I myself, Cha and Gayan, singing the glories of other demigods rather than those of the Lord. Tatvidvan, knowing very well the art of singing. Strivi, by women. Parivrita, being surrounded. Gataha, went there. Gyatva, knowing well. Vishvasrija, the Prajapatis to whom the management of universal affairs was entrusted. Tat, the attitude of my singing. May, my. Helanam, negligence. Shepu, cursed. Ojasa, with great force. Yahi, become. Tvam, you. Shudratam, ashudra. Ashu, immediately. Nashta, devoid of. Sri, beauty. Krita Helena, because of transgressing the etiquette. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni continued, being invited to that festival, I also joined. And surrounded by women, I began musically singing the glories of the demigods. Because of this, Prajapatis, the great demigods, in charge of the universe, falsely cursed me with these words. Because you have committed an offense, you may immediately become a Shudra devoid of beauty. Purport. As far as Kirtan is concerned, the Shastras say, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. One should chant the glories of the Supreme Lord and the holy name of the Supreme Lord. This is clearly stated. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. One should chant about and glorify Lord Vishnu, not any demigod. Fortunately, there are foolish persons who invent some process of Kirtan on the basis of a demigod's name. This is an offense. Kirtan means glorifying the Supreme Lord, not any demigod. Sometimes people invent Kali Kirtan or Shiva Kirtan, and even big sannyasis in the Mayavadi school say that one may chant any name and still get the same result. But here we find that millions and millions of years ago, when Narada Muni was a Gandharva, he neglected the order to glorify the Lord. And being mad in the association of women, began to chant otherwise. Thus he was cursed to become a Shudra. His first offense was that he went to join the Sankirtan party in the company of lusty women. Another offense was that he considered ordinary songs, like cinema songs and other such songs, to be equal to the Sankirtan. For this offense, he was punished with becoming a Shudra. Aham cha gayam tad vidvan shribir parivrito gataha yatva vishva srijas tanme helanam shepur ojasa yahi tvam shudratam shudratam ashu nashta sri krita helanaha. Narada Muni continued, being invited to that festival, I also joined. and surrounded by women, I began musically singing the glories of the demigods. Because of this, the Prajapatis, the great demigods in charge of the affairs of the universe, falsely cursed me with these words. Because you have committed an offense, may you immediately become a Shudra devoid of beauty. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Shreyan Swadamo Viguna Paradharma Sunustitat Shreydharame Nididam Shreyak Paradharmo Vayavaha. Chapter, you know the chapters? Chapter 2, text number, Karma Yoga. Sorry, Karma. It must be around text number 34. It is better to perform. It is far better to discharge one's own prescribed duty than faultily than another's duties perfectly. Destruction, the cause of performing one's own duty, is better than engaging another's duties. To follow another's path is dangerous. So duty is called dharma, swadharma. And there are two types of swadharma. One type is in the varna and ashram according to our psychophysical nature. Everyone should know something about what his psychophysical nature is so he can find out what he should do. At least in the Vanashram system, this was simpler because by birth, one would generally have the characteristics of the parents, especially the upper class, like the Brahmins. Before conception, they perform Garbhadan Samskara, so their consciousness was such that they produced children in a similar mode of nature, in the mode of goodness. Everything depends upon consciousness, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sharira yad avapnoti yatschap yukrimatishvaraha grihi vaitani samyati vayor ganda ivashyat. The living entities carry their different conceptions of life, just like the air carries aroma. From one, they carry their different conceptions of life from one body to the other, just like air carries aroma. Thus they take one kind of body and quit it to take another. Srotram chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam granam eva cha adishtaya manakchanya vishyan upasevate. This is chapter 15. Text number 11. No, text number 9. Text 9, 15, 9. Thus the living entity takes another gross body which has sense of hearing, sense of touch, sense of smell, sense of taste, all grouped around the mind, and thus he enjoys a particular set of sense objects. In other words, because of our consciousness, we get a certain type of body. And of course, our consciousness develops according to our activities. And our activities determine generally what kind of consciousness we're going to develop. And one who is actually in knowledge, he can understand what kind of body he has and what it's meant for. As Krishna says in the next verse, Ukramantam sitim vapi punjana vagunandvita vimudo nanupashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. The foolish, they cannot understand what kind of body one enjoys under how a living entity can. The foolish cannot understand how the living entity quits his body, or what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature, but those whose eyes are trained with knowledge can see all this clearly. In other words, if we don't know what kind of body we're in, then we're, what is Krishna? Ukramantam sitim vapi bunjana vagunanvita vimuda. Then we're vimuda. We're fooled. If we don't know what kind of body we have, we won't know what kind of duty we should do for Krishna, specifically. Anyhow, why do people get their intelligence taken away? They don't even know what kind of body they have, they're in. Well, for one, they're never trained. And number two, even if they had the theoretical knowledge, because they're absorbed in lust and trying to gratify the senses rather than utilize them in Krishna service, therefore their intelligence is everlastingly taken away by illusion. Just like Arjuna was asking, well, what's the force that takes away our determination to do what we're supposed to do? Even if we know what we're supposed to do, why don't we do it? What to speak of when you don't know what you're supposed to do? In other words, your intelligence has already been taken away. Therefore, whatever you do is going to be probably not very, well, spiritually speaking, it'll be a waste of time. And probably materially speaking, it'll be dangerous. So Arjuna asked the question, Ata keno puyuktoyam papam charati purusha anicham api varshneya baladiva niyojita. What is the balad? What is the energy, the force that's taking us or forcing us not to do what we know we're supposed to be doing? So of course we know Krishna says kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna samudbhava, mahashino mahapatma vidyanam ihavarinam. It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later on turned into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of the world. So Krishna identifies it as lust. It's not simply, oh, I don't feel like doing it, or I have a better thing to do, or I'm very creative, or I act according to my creative impulse. I do what I feel like doing. No, actually we're being forced by lust. That's why we don't follow our duty. It's not some kind of creativity or inspiration. It's simply lust is forcing us not to perform our duty. And therefore, lust, from lust comes anger, from anger comes delusion, from delusion comes bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and one acts in the modes of material nature. So, here Narada Muni is surrounded by lusty demigoddesses, and his intelligence has been taken away. And therefore, instead of engaging in his duty, which is, especially as a demigod, is kirtan to the Supreme Lord, he's glorifying the demigods. This is an offense against the holy name. To consider the names of the demigods to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. And as the job of the Prajapati is, as we hear, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshya vidu, sakleniha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. It is the duty of the persons who are leaders in society to see that everyone is doing their duty. Otherwise, how can you be a leader if you're blind, if your intelligence has been taken away by illusion? So how can you lead others? Andaya tandero pigiyamanas te pisha tantra uridami bhara. They don't know, Natevidu Swarthakatim Hi Vishnu. Anyone who doesn't know that the aim of life is to obtain Vishnu, Dharashaya Ye Bahya Arthamani Na, and is absorbed in mental speculation outside of Krishna's instructions, then he's blind. And being blind, he may claim that he's a leader, but he's a blind leader, and anyone who follows them will simply get into difficulty. One will become implicated in the laws of material nature. So here it mentions that kirtan should be for Vishnu. Only Vishnu should be glorified. Itat vitas chitra padam yaso jagat paritam paragriha karichit tadvayasam tirtum ushanti manasa niyatra hangsa niramantyu shikshaya. Yad vichas chitra padam hayer yasho. Although the words may be very pleasing, very poetic, but if they don't describe the personality of Godhead, they're considered to be like places of pilgrimage for crows. The all perfect persons, although they don't have any, the perfect, the Paramahansas, they have no attraction for such talk. Gramya Katha. Because they're residents of the spiritual abode. So here are the hunksas and the crows that compare it. The crows like to eat the garbage that's thrown on the street. And the hunksas, the swans, they like to exist in a nice calm atmosphere in a nice peaceful lake with lotus flowers. And they drink the milk. They separate the milk from the water. And they eat lotus stems. So the crow-like people who are interested simply in eating, sleeping, and mating and defending, they're compared to crows. And those who are interested in glorifying Krishna, they're considered to be swans. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be revolutionary. Tadva, what is that called? First word, tadvayasam, yet pradas chitrapadam hariyari shojagapra, then niramanta shikshaya. Does anyone have a, it's the chapter, yeah. Tadvachas chitrapadam hariyari, and then yadvachas, yad. You can't find it? Do we have a first canto? Is there a first canto in here? Could you give me the first canto? Yeah, that's it. No, wait a second. Slowly. The first word. Tadvad visargo vipabhaga viplevo yasmin proti stokam abharavatyapi namanimantasya shokitani yat niyat shrivanti gayanti grinanti sarava. Tadvad visargo janataga viplevo. So, visarga, creation. Janata, for the people in general. Agam, their sins. Viplava, revolutionary. Tadvag viplavo, janataga viplavo. Yasmin pratisokam avadavatyapi, namanyanantashishan kitaniyat, shinvanti gayanti grinanti sarava. So it's, the revolution is to talk about Krishna. Everything begins with hearing. When you hear about the glories of sense gratification, then people become attracted to try it out. Especially if leaders of society glorify something, then their followers naturally will follow them, because that's what it means to be a follower. If the leaders glorify Krishna, then people will become devotees. And if the leaders glorify sense gratification, then they'll become demons. So the difference between a demon and a devotee is that a devotee glorifies Krishna, and the demons, they glorify sense gratification. Just like in the current situation, those who are asuras, they're simply putting people in fear that they have to save their bodies. No question of utilizing their body in Krishna service, because they've been trained up to be asuras themselves. So they're, what they do, what they don't do, is not based upon what's good for Krishna, what's pleasing to Krishna, what's not. Because they have no knowledge. Their intelligence has been taken away by illusion. And therefore they do whatever they think is going to be good for their sense gratification. And because their leaders are demons, and they're blind, therefore all of them will get into difficulty. That's the situation. And even we think, well, they weren't getting into difficulty, now the difficulty. But the fact is that because people are engaged in sinful activities, therefore they're bound to the lower species of life. Better to, as the sage was giving benedictions, he gave one benediction to a butcher, and neither you should live or die. because you're living a horrible existence, and if you die, then you're going to go to hell. But to the prince, he said you should die immediately, because you're engaged in so much sinful activity that you're sure to go to hell. Actually, for the prince, he said, may you live forever, because when you die, you're going to go to hell. But better to die, if one is not a prince or a butcher, but better to die as soon as possible, because then you have less sinful activities. If that's your life, is sinful activity, devoid of Krishna consciousness, better to die as soon as possible, because then even if you go to the lower species of life, it won't be as low a species of life as if you continue on living, committing sinful activities. Therefore, if one, especially for devotees, if they turn into demons, by instead of glorifying Krishna, and glorifying Krishna means, as Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, we should understand Krishna's science, all this Krishna's sciences. It's not that we simply chant Hare Krishna and we don't know anything about how the material world works. Actually, Prabhupada said that in the second canto, one should understand, it's more important for the conditioned soul to understand the pastimes of Krishna in the material energy than Krishna's pastimes in the internal energy. So our Bhagavatam is full of knowledge of Ayurveda, Dhanuveda, philosophy, Jyotirveda, all kinds of knowledge. So we should know how to live in the material world to create the most favorable atmosphere to becoming Krishna conscious. Otherwise, if we don't know these things, then we're mudas. All the chanting in the world, if it can't bring us to some knowledge of actually what the situation is, we remain a muda. Because if one chants purely, one will realize he's eternal soul. That's another type of swadharma, spiritual one. But often we're making the wrong choices. In other words, Krishna has given us so much knowledge, and we keep on making the wrong choices, either because of ignorance of Krishna's instructions, or because of just thinking that something is better than Krishna. Krishna spoke, for instance, Ayurveda in the form of Dhanvantari, and Prabhupada glorifies him as the incarnation of the Supreme Lord giving us the science of medicine. But if we think, well, he's just a ordinary personality or mythological personality, and that there are other sciences of medicine superior to what God himself has given us, then we're deluded. We're in delusion. And therefore we'll have to suffer the results of our mistaken understanding of things. So it's not that we can work in any whimsical way. As Krishna says, yakshastra vidim usrija vartate kamakarata nisasudim avapnoti nasukam napuram gitim. That those who doubt the revealed scriptures, yakshastra vidim usrija, those who give up the shastra and act whimsically according to their lust, anger, and greed, can obtain neither peace, nor happiness, nor the supreme destination. So we shouldn't take it so lightly. Just like even in our Hare Krishna movement, there are devotees, they do kirtan to Shiva, because they think it's going to attract more people. And Durga. And even if they don't do it personally themselves, they go to kirtans where they're at glorification of Durga and Shiva and other demigods, just because they think it's going to become more popular. They'll attract people. But actually, they'll go to hell and they'll attract all those people who go to hell with them. No matter how many people go to hell with you, it doesn't make it any better. You can't say, well, Yamaraj, I brought 50,000 people to hell with me. You know, maybe you should give me a special place in hell. Now, the more people we mislead, the more we'll get into trouble. Therefore, one should be careful that what the acharyas want us to do, become an instrument for the acharya, not instruments to the whims of the people in general, to gratify their senses, thinking that we become a great personality because we have counting the number of followers we have. If you count the number of zeros, then they add up to zero. Only when you put a one in front of the zeros does it actually have any meaning to it. So unless Krishna is there and out front, then we're just wasting our time. And as it, here we have the example of a great personality, a great demigod. What was his name? Bar something. Upavarhana. Great musical leader, Kirtaniya. All the ladies were swooning when he was chanting. Tears were in their eyes. And he wound up in, practically in hell. So we should be careful not to nadanamna janamna sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. We should be careful to accept devotional service and not be interested in material sense gratification, either in its gross ways or in its subtle ways. Otherwise, we'll wind up like Narada Muni, as a Shudra. Fortunately, by Krishna's arrangement, because Narada Muni is a special personality, he got the association of the Bhaktivedantas who saved him. And he didn't take up chanting the names of the demigods anymore. He learned his lesson. So, some of our devotees, if they get misdirected, they may also have to learn such lessons. But ultimately, we have faith that Krishna will also save them too. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Question. Not considering the future fortune of Narada Muni, what was not the part of the curse? Just to curse somebody to become a Shudra does not seem to be very beneficial. Namely, Shudras are even more forgetful of principles and more lusty.
Well, Prajapati's cursed Upabarhana to become a Shudra, so he did less harm. He wasn't a misleader or a cheater. His consciousness was out of a Shudra, so they gave him a body which is suitable. If you're a Shudra, you can be surrounded by lusty women, and no one will complain. But if you're a demigod, then you're setting a bad example for the whole universe.
Okay, next one. From the purport, it sounds that a devotee might become a Shudra in the next life if he or she all the time chants Nama Aparat. What do you think?
It's possible. Depends what our consciousness is at the time of death. But because we're trying to chant Hare Krishna, as Prabhupada said, even we get low born, still auspicious Krishna consciousness will continue in the next lifetime. But generally speaking, even if we're chanting Nama Bas, that's quite good. It's Nama Parad which is dangerous. If we're trying to chant purely as much as possible to focus our attention, give our love in Krishna, then we're being elevated. And we rarely take birth as a Shudra in Kali. Everyone takes birth as a Shudra, Kali Yuga. But even Kalo Sudra Sambhava. But even we take birth again as a Shudra, but we'll take birth amongst devotee Shudras. We'll be trying to make spiritual advancement.
And a third one, should we change our Western medicine for Ayurvedic to show faith in Dhanvantari?
Yeah, we should learn the science of Ayurveda. But then the question is, you have to learn it from someone who actually knows it. Western medicine is hardly based upon any kind of reality. It's based upon simply chemicals, suppressing, burning, cutting, whatever. So people like Western medicine because we've been trained up to appreciate it. And it has, especially for traumatic injuries, they know how to deal with that. That's their expertise. If you get run over by a car or something, they know how to treat you. More than someone who can take your pulse and tell you that your doshas are now disturbed. So they have a certain expertise, but in terms of actually understanding how the body works, they don't know what kind of body the person that their patient is, what kind of body it is. They don't know about the soul within the body. They don't know about the super soul. They don't know about how the body was even created. They don't even know what the different parts of the body, how they work energetically. So they know little. They've just been trained up to give you a chemical to suppress your symptoms and get some money from you. Therefore, better if it's possible, if you have a chronic disease, go to someone who knows something about how the body works, might be able to help you. Anything else? Yes.
I have one acquaintance from before who is a doctor, a young doctor, and every time I meet him, he asks me about women in Hare Krishna. The only thing he's interested in is how it's with intimate relationships, and he's keeping me asking him that question. So he's kind of a Shudra doctor, so kind of.
Yeah, in the Veda culture, generally doctors were Shudras. Because they don't know very much. But Ayurvedic doctors like Maurya Gupta was considered considered a Shudra, but he was a great devotee. But Garga Muni, others, they're very advanced Brahmanas also who are Ayurvedic doctors. They know the science, which is given by the Ashwini Kumaras. But Ayurveda is not considered to be the primary Veda. Srimad Bhagavatam is the primary Veda. But even in Srimad Bhagavatam, we find Ayurveda. Everything's there. But the ultimate purpose is to serve Krishna. So we take care of the body so we can serve Krishna. So without Krishna, Ayurveda doesn't have any meaning either, without the purpose to serve Krishna. Therefore, in the beginning of all the Vedic texts, glorification of Vishnu is always there. Because he's the aim. That's why the knowledge is given, to help us serve Krishna better. But present, whatever, so allopathic, alternative, whatever, even Ayurveda nowadays is godless. It's written by impersonalists and materialists. So that won't help us very much. It may help us, especially if one has some knowledge of the actual science of how the body works, they may be able to help us better than someone who's completely in ignorance of it, but pretending to be a doctor. Yes?
On the internet, there is one guru, I mean self-proclaimed probably, he's a follower of Shiva, I think, and millions of people are watching him, and he doesn't seem so bad. I mean, things. Which,
yeah, of course, to us.
I mean, he's speaking about mode of goodness, and devotees say, "Oh, he's bringing people to mode of goodness."
Well, great.
I mean, it seems he does something good, something. Relatively.
Yeah. Good, anyhow, that's all right. Mode of goodness is generally considered better than modes of ignorance and passion. But they don't save us the time of death. Then you have to come back in the mode of goodness somewhere. And then you may fall down to ignorance and passion eventually. So without Krishna, it's considered shravam evahi kevalam, a waste of time. Although from the mode of goodness, there's more opportunity, more likelihood of coming to Krishna consciousness. But still, without becoming Krishna consciousness, it's considered a waste of time.
But then these people are not so bad. I mean,
compared to those in ignorance and passion, they're a little better. It's like wet stool and dry stool. There's always a debate whether the wet stool is better than the dry stool. But after all, the subject matter is stool.
But can we say that they have ISKCON, bring people to the virtue of Krishna?
Milk touched by the lips of a serpent has poisonous effects also. Because of their association with Maya bodies and materialists, then they sometimes become averse to Krishna consciousness. They don't need Krishna. They become envious of Krishna. They think they're Krishna. Thank you very much. Grandharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.